song that I believe. Ba-ba-da-da. I don't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate. You know the song?
No, but there is but no way I'm editing that part out. You are absolutely getting that on there.
But I
that's
believe
gonna be the intro.
It's Don Williams. It's Don Williams. It's Don Williams. I know who it is now. It's Don Williams. I believe in. I think that's the name of it.
I just figured out my editing problem. I'm just going to invert the show. We're going to start there and then put all the rest of it on the back.
I believe in babies. You ain't never heard of that. I think that's a lesson for each and everybody. Kind of going back to what we've been talking about is there is no difference between the sacred and the secular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I'm in church, I'm going to act a certain way. But listen, it's the same God I'm worshiping. And so when I do my work as unto the Lord, I want to make sure that, hey, I'm doing the best that I can. Am I going to be perfect? Heavens no. But I want to do the best that I can. And, you know, the Raiders used to have a saying called commitment to excellence. Mm-hmm. And our high school basketball coach pushed that. That was, no, if you're gonna be in the weight room and you're going to do, you know, five sets of 10, then you make sure you do those five sets perfectly. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do one of those reps perfect, then do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was, we are committed to doing the best that we can at what we got.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like I said, there's no difference in our secular and our sacred lives. We're doing everything, as Paul says, whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, do for the glory of God.
Now, I do think there's a way you can get, you got to moderate that to an extent, or at least put a disclaimer on it, that sometimes you can overcommit yourself to what you're going to commit to. If I say I'm going to do 1,000 push-ups and now I'm going to commit to doing it, well, I can't do that. Right?
Well, and I think that always goes back to, and I think what you and I had a conversation before we hit record is, you know, we can overextend ourselves a whole lot. We mm-hmm. get so busy, especially, you know, in the burrs, September, mm-hmm. October, November, and December. We are running ourselves ragged. In fact, both of us, you know, basically came in here on two wheels, breathing heavy and kind of, oh my goodness, because we got so much going on. I think we have to be careful that we don't make, because I see times when Jesus pulled away, went to the wilderness, he prayed, he got alone. Now, granted, it was hard for him because you see from time to time he was trying to get away and then somebody would pull it, you know, get a hold to him or try to get to him. And so it's important that we make sure that we slow down in time to, I don't know if it's to recharge, replenish, refresh. For some of us, that's early morning, just getting before everybody, away from everybody, and getting before the Lord, or whatever the case may be. But one of the things we need to make sure of is not to be so stinking busy that you miss the peacefulness and the rest of a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking to myself right now. Thought I better preach to myself before Thanksgiving gets here. And but I mean, it is, and I think we just have to be careful. Yeah, you want to be the best you can be. We do want to do that. At the same time, we also want to make sure that that I want to be here for 25, 35, 40 years.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that you have to guard against, because we pride ourselves on, I can do so much and I did this and I did that. And oh man, I can't wait. Man, if you saw my schedule tomorrow, you'd be, and I'm going to get everything done. And we sort of pride ourselves on that. And I'm, you know, I have to be careful, because I've had some godly men in my life to speak and say, no, you're going to burn yourself out, kid. You know, don't be stupid. And so we do have to guard against that. At the same time, though, all right, we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to be to the best for God's glory. So fine line, you have to balance.
Well, this is awesome. Welcome back to the 167, 10
yeah,
minutes
you go.
Today without getting to it. So we're Garrett and Ben, and we just talk, and sometimes we tell you who we are, and sometimes
that's right.
We don't. Otherwise, read the description that we tell our names in there. So this is great, because I was a little nervous about this one, because I had a lot of things on my mind and no organization whatsoever coming in today. So this is great, because this is a perfect thing to talk about
right. For
a whole bunch of reasons. Going into that time of year where it's super easy to do that, and it's a very easy one to sneak up on you. So I'll give you maybe examples from my life in the last week, and I'm sure there's things I got right and things I got wrong. This is just kind of how the thought process anyway that kind of goes into it. So we also we go through those seasons of busy and not busy, and you had said something at the beginning of the show that sometimes, you know, we get a little busy and we may not have that time to get before God the way we want to.
Right.
That felt really wrong to me. I'm like, no, he's always first. I stop whatever I do and do that. Yeah.
You know, right.
Well, no, you don't stop traffic necessarily.
That's right.
Maybe in some cases, but yeah, not all. You won't be appreciated for stopping traffic to pray on a regular basis. But I hadn't experienced it until football. But then I've kind of experienced it a little bit more lately with work, kind of what we're talking about here lately,
right.
Where the last 5-6 days, like I was talking about my sleep schedule, I've had none. There's been none. But it's a short run. It's a short stint. I know there's a purpose behind it because I got to get this video out.
Right.
And once it's out there forever, and there's all kinds of stuff I can do with it. So it's been a short-term kind of thing. At the same time, last week, a couple of examples. One day, had the kids. Nothing was going on. And I didn't have anything that was terribly pressing right then. So I shut things down at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and we hung out the rest of the evening. And then Friday night, actually, one of the reasons I'm behind, although this isn't the like 3 hours of my whatever, is a couple of friends were in town that I don't get to see very often, and we all got together and got to hang out for a little bit, so it was good to catch up with them. So
right.
There is a balance to it, but that being said, I've seen people get on both on the wrong side of it for both extremes.
Mm-hmm.
You can push yourself too thin, but there is also a possibility, there's times that you said God don't put it, it's not biblical that he doesn't put more on you than you can handle.
Right.
Sometimes he just throws that much at you.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's all, because if you put me in a situation where I've got 24 hours.
Right.
And I've got to spend 10 of it making sure I keep my kids safe, 10 of it taking care of my mom and dad, and 10 of it taking care of whatever else I got to take care of. At some point or another, you run out of something.
Yeah.
So you can get to a point where you can try to help so many people that you start hurting them all.
Right.
Probably including yourself. So how do you do that? Because I know I don't do it right, but you've got to balance it more than anything. Because I can feel times that just because I don't have time to talk to God, he still talks to me.
Right.
I've heard a lot from God this week, too,
in
unsolicited places, right? He just pops up. But you can very easily, I'm sure, let that stay on autopilot for very long, and it starts turning like that movie Click, right, where you just kind of look back and you've checked out for 5 years and didn't know what happened to your life.
Yeah,
I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the other side. How do you, I ain't got anything to say to this one. This is on you, man. How do you answer that?
No, I think it's one of, as you were talking, I was sitting there thinking about, okay, how would I answer that is, there's a couple of verses that I have to remind myself. There's one that Paul says, pray without ceasing. All right, so that doesn't mean that I'm driving down the road or I got to stop. I can drive down the road and be in constant communication with the Lord. I think it's one of, again, it kind of goes back to being in tune with the Lord 24/7. And I think it's, having those in preschool, when we teach preschool, we talk about, hey, have your listening ears on.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're really concentrating, trying to listen. And I think it's one of, that's what I always try to encourage Christians to do, is to have those listening ears, listening for the Lord. I think it's one of, okay, nobody is a 24/7 machine. Nobody. So eventually, once in a while, you sit down. Eventually, once in a while, you're not going 90 to nothing. And in those 90 to nothing moments, that's when I spend the time of saying, okay, Lord, I feel like right now I'm stressed. I'm this, and Lord, I know this is not what your word says. And I think that's where, again, having a healthy repertoire of the scriptures is always going to be good for you to be able to draw upon. Case in point, scriptures in Ephesians 6, the scriptures is described as the sword of the Spirit. All right, so the Holy Spirit is in your life. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we're about to go into a spiritual battle. We're really wrestling with doubt. We may be confused. And the Holy Spirit goes in your arsenal of verses you have memorized. And all you got is John 3:16. Great verse, but that's not a great sword to fight the enemy with about discouragement or about. And so you need some.
John 3:16 going to discouragement, knife to a gunfight.
Right. It's not the right
one. You're trying to eat a steak with chopsticks.
That's it. And so you need a passage that says, you know, whatever you're needing at that moment. So that's where having that scripture in your mind, and again, being in constant communication, allowing the Holy Spirit to say, hey, reminding you of, hey, you will, he keeps those whose mind is set on him, he keeps in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Okay, so that's Isaiah. That's a weapon I can grab. That's a sword I can grab, dude. If I'm all anxious or I'm all bent out of shape, no, he keeps those whose mind is set on him in perfect peace. Lord, then why isn't that happening in my life? Or, you know, I'm going to claim that promise because, Lord, I'm focused on you. And so having those helps you to be able to fight those times of discouragement or when you're overly busy or when you feel like, man, I don't feel as close to the Lord. And again, I think part of our maturing and our growing in the Lord means I don't necessarily have to be under him or hearing it all the time. Mm-hmm. He told me what to do. I'm doing it. I don't, you know, it's kind of like as an adult child, I got adult children. I don't necessarily have to call and say, did you brush your teeth this morning? Mm-hmm. Now you're grown. Now something bigger may have to handle. So I think as you mature too, it may be that the Lord may not speak as much. I think he does. But you don't have to, what's wrong? I didn't hear from him this morning. No, I'm going to continue to walk and walk consistently. This morning in our staff meeting, that was the word that I had for folks was, we need to be consistent. Mm-hmm. And what consistent means is, it's kind of like faithful. You know, I know God is consistent. He's going to be always good. He's always faithful. So he is consistent in those. Well, we need to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. That when people see us, whether we're in a good day or a bad day, we still need to be consistent in our walk with the Lord.
So I want to ask this and or say this, and I don't know. This is one of those just sometimes we talk about what are some things that you thought were in the Bible that weren't. I know this isn't in the Bible. If I said something, it probably wasn't.
Right.
But it's a, let's call it a teachable moment, whatever you want. Right. So in this past week or so, like this, I don't want to say I even give myself a litmus test. It's not even that, and it's not even like I'm trying to do it on purpose or anything like that. But when I say I haven't had as much time maybe to talk to God, but he still had time to talk to me, and you said you can be driving down the road and you can still be with the Lord. Uh-huh. Okay, so
when's your time?
I agree with that statement. I'm asking you, I guess, is this an example of it without it sounding, I'm not trying to sound like being self-righteous at all.
Right.
I just don't know. It's a test. We'll see how I do on this. But this week I've been busy a lot. I've had a lot going on.
Right.
But a way that I can kind of tell that I'm still in touch with God, or he's still at least in touch with me, or when I say he's still talking to me, it's not because I've still had time to go on my walks and I've heard from him from the heavens and all this stuff. It's back to what we said in the beginning. It's the simple little things. I'm not talking about anything crazy supernatural here.
Right.
I'm talking about when I walk by the person on the walking trail or walking to the gas station, it still occurs to me to say, hey, how are you? Or to say something polite or to genuinely just I walk by somebody with a dog and it might be a 10-second talk about how cute the dog is.
Yeah.
And you walk, but that's not the stuff that comes naturally or that I even want to do. Naturally, in my normal environment, I want to stay away from people.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So I can still see his, I see evidence of him in my actions, and I don't mean that to sound like I'm, oh, look how good.
No.
I'm not proactively saying, well, I better be nice to people so that I'm still close to God.
No.
It's reactive, not proactive.
No, I think what you're seeing is results of the Holy Spirit, not necessarily, you know, that, oh, that's because I've got an active relationship or I'm really. No, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. Remember, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I'm going to be talking about kindness tonight during our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going one by one through the fruits of the Spirit. So kindness is one that, man, you're going to show kindness. And kindness takes its place in about a thousand different ways.
By the way, Wednesday Bible study, is that in person or virtual?
It's in person.
It's in person. I mean, I can make, I just need to know.
I wish we did it. I wish we did virtual. One time we were, but we may go back. But it is, they have a dinner at 5:15. Decent dinner, $6, real good.
Yeah.
And then Bible study is usually about 6:10, 6:15. Now, it's not long. I don't do because I know everybody's tired. everybody. It's just we need some encouragement to get to the end of the week. So yeah. We're talking about kindness. Kindness shows itself in a thousand different ways. It can be I brought a meal home to somebody that was sick. It can be a smile at just the right time. It can be an encouraging word. And so I think those things you're seeing, whether it's just stopping and talking to someone or just paying someone a compliment or seeing someone needing help and just offering a hand, that's a result of the Holy Spirit working in your life. Now some people might be a little more dispositioned to be kinder or nicer. Well, you just said yourself, that's not your disposition,
no,
per se.
Right. Yeah.
And so that is, again, that's the evidence of what you're seeing there, is the Lord working in your life. That's the Holy Spirit and is the fruit of the Spirit.
Well, and I think what I'm trying to get at there really, and that's where I've said before, that's a delicate balance for me because I'm not sure how to say those types of things, but it sounds like it's pat myself on the back.
Right.
But I think what I'm bringing it up is evidence for, because if you are a naturally kind and talkative person, okay, right. The buddy that I was hanging out with on Friday night,
right.
Friendliest, most chatty guy you'll ever seen, he couldn't use that as a litmus test for how he's doing with the Lord right now.
Right.
If his litmus test is, well, I was nice to a stranger or I whatever, well, that comes naturally for you. That's not maybe what you need to check. I can check that maybe because naturally I'm doing all I can do to just give a half smile on a bad day. I've got a joke going, by the way, with the daycare person. I came in one time with my sunglasses on and my hat and all this, and I was on the phone with my mom, and she overheard it.
Right.
And she said something about, you sound like you're having a heck of a day. I said, anytime you see the hat and sunglasses still on, that's my don't mess with me face.
Yeah.
But that's my natural environment. So when I'm having a bad day and I still say something to the clerk, again, it's not patting myself on the back because I tell you, I didn't want to. It's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
How'd I do that? But you do need to know, the reason I'm bringing it up is that you do need to know what your checks are, I think, to be able to see, are you still seeing that evidence?
Well, and I think it's one of, even for your buddy, and this is one of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight is kindness for kindness sake is not necessarily the check. When we talk about kindness, and this is Romans 2:4, I've got it here close by. Romans 2:4 talks about the patience and the kindness of God that leads to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That really, I mean, you have to know what, when we say kindness, what's it getting at? When our kindness is, yeah, I can be kind because I feel like that's a disposition more towards me, but is my kindness aiming towards seeing someone saved, wanting to reach someone for Christ? I mean, hey, just me just saying, hey, how are you, when I walk by in the mall or walk by on the walking trail, okay, that's nice, but no, how about I'm wanting to be kind because I want to introduce you to who Christ is? So I think the motive, and then also what is the, not only the motive, but the push, because it is from the Holy Spirit, that you're going to want to be kind, not just to win people. I mean, that almost sounds manipulative, and I'm not doing that for manipulation. It's just I'm driven by this Christ that I love. It causes me to be kind because the Holy Spirit is living in me, and I want you to know who this is. I think maybe that's the key behind it, is a motivation, but again, not manipulating or doing anything like that, but really, you know, driven by who Christ is and wanting him to be known. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because as you're answering the question, I'm listening to it and I'm kind of starting to realize for myself that it wasn't a very fair question to start with, maybe.
Right.
But it's, I'm saying, if I were going to paraphrase what I said a minute ago, I would say I had a feeling that that was a good thing, but I don't know how I did that right. So I think I got it right by luck. Now, I guess C and whatever, so now tell me how I got it right. But I actually, as you're answering it, it's like, no, I don't think so. I think it's the point that we've been trying to make before. It's hard to put your finger on it. It's faith. You can't put your finger on what I did right, quote unquote, to keep, because here's the thing. I didn't do anything right. If I'm looking for the thing that I did that kept me from being ugly to that person, or that thing that I did that morning that reminded me to say nice things to people when they walk by, I'm not going to find it because I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. It was God. It was faith in him. And maybe if I could think of any singular thing that I've tried to do that might have helped put him in a better position to do that, has been to go to him on my bad days and say, please help me get through this one.
Yeah.
Rather than just sucking it up and trying to get through the day, I go to him like, can you help me? So maybe after doing that a few times, maybe it becomes a little bit more second nature to try to keep it together yourself. I don't know. But at the end of the day, you can't use God to be nicer to people But don't be surprised if you're close with God if you end up being nicer and doing all these other things anyway.
Yeah. And I think what happens is, again, as you're growing and as you're maturing in Christ, it does become a lot less self-conscious. I think it becomes a lot less self-effort, that it becomes your nature. Mm-hmm. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you'll be amazed at the change, the difference, but also as you mature and become more like Christ, it's not you don't have to think about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's numerous ways that could be illustrated, whether it's a wide receiver who learns how to run a route the right mm-hmm. way, and he does it 6,000 times a day in practice, give or take.
Yeah.
So he runs it 300 times in a practice. Then in the game time, he knows exactly four mm-hmm. steps and this, and the quarterback knows to put it right on a dime. They have, and it becomes a second nature to you. And I think that's part of what happens too as you mature in Christ is, yeah, those things that don't necessarily just become automatic, but you don't have to concentrate on them as much.
One of the things that I've been probably trying to poke out of you a little bit on this show is like, give me instructions. I need these verses in this order. Prayed at this time and do this and do this. And it's kind of funny to you because I came to you and said, hey, I want to start a show about how religion's not all this organized stuff. Now, let's start a show and you tell me how to organize this stuff. So it's not that I had a problem with religion. I just didn't like the way everybody else was doing it. I wanted you to organize it my way. What I'm hearing from the show, though, it's funny. We're both kind of – there's not that ABC 1-2-3 answer in this order. This is what it's got to be. You have, it is that it's in the daily relationship. It's that thing you can't put your finger on, but it's trust. Back to what you said, trust and dependence and all that stuff. It is actually it's not a 1-2-3 set of instructions. It's one instruction.
Mm-hmm.
One instruction. So it is super simple.
Yeah.
But boy, there's a lot of cloudiness in that one instruction. Sure. Sometimes we got to sift through. And I think that's the coolest part that's come out of the show is that I came to you thinking, I don't want to say it quite that emphatically. I mean that very facetiously. But I came thinking, I've got the guy that's got the answers. Let's go and let this is the best preacher I've ever found to know how to say it in words we can understand. And your answer's been, I ain't got the answers either. God has all the answers.
I hope I can make it clear to understand that, it all goes back to that relationship. And how you do a relationship is you don't want to box that into, okay, I got to do X, I got to do Y, I got to do Z. I mean, think about it. If that's your marriage, if that's your dating relationship, I got to. Mm-hmm. You sent me flowers today. Thank you, honey. Well, it's my duty. Give me a break. No, and how we go about doing that relationship oftentimes is, okay, it's reading. It's reading his word. It's spending time. It's watching for him. I mean, it's so many different things that involve this thing that makes it into a real and personal experiencing of Christ himself. And again, I'm not underestimating. In fact, I would say the more that you're reading, the better. Because mm-hmm. like I said, go back to the illustration of your arsenal. Going back to what you're going to fight a spiritual battle with. You need more than one verse. You need a whole conglomerate. And so it's one of, there's not a X, Y, and Z. It's a whole bunch of stuff, but it's one relationship. And if you figure that out, that's where the key is.
Well, and when we were I didn't have a lot of time this week to do much texting, really. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have time to say it to you at church.
No,
I was buried. I got my wish. I said I wanted to sit in the back corner where all the other quiet sinners did. Well, that's the only spot y'all had this week. there.
That was a bunch of folks in there. And they were sitting, like I said, at the very, very back. And I was good gracious.
It was big. It was packed last week. But, Now, see, there's your ADD break. I'm running a little bit late on it today. let's see, church Sunday. What are we going with that?
Let's see, church Sunday, and you were going to speak to me, and
the one text last week. I did say finding yeah, there's a lot of things that are in, people think are in the Bible that aren't really.
Right.
But
there's that, and then there was the songs that you thought about some song lyrics, and
well,
I said,
a bunch
hey,
of songs. I mean, I,
we
yeah.
need to poll. We need to poll the readers and let them send us some of their, you know, favorite song lyrics, and we'll see. Okay, how scriptural is that?
Well, these are literally. Yeah, I love that. I had to double take it one time, make sure I understood what you were saying, because I was saying that there's a lot of Christian sounding words or lyrics and other songs that are not Christian songs at all. I used the keeping your gratitude higher than your expectations because I went back later and kind of laughed at it when I realized that song is on the Austin City Limits that you watched.
Yes. But I think and that's what got me to where this guy's unlike any other artist I've ever heard before.
So when that in that line, that is not a song about, it's not a Christian song.
No, no.
But
far
keep
from
your gratitude higher than your expectations certainly is a good Christian
It's a Christian sentiment. Mm-hmm. And I used to use the phrase pseudo-Christian to describe a couple of bands. At one time, there were some pseudo-Christian bands. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Creed almost started out as one.
I was going to ask for an example, but so when you say pseudo-Christian, what's the definition?
A pseudonym's false name. They kind of present themselves as being a little bit, and their lyrics may actually be. I think when Switchfoot came out originally, they were, you know, kind of, okay, there's some... They've got pop, but then it's almost like a mix of pop and Christian, but it's not necessarily full Christian. But they've got
Line between full Christian and kind of Christian?
Well, I think it's one of song going to be about the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and again. I think it's one of, you know, for me, I think Creed was probably
Creed would have probably been one. Yeah, definitely.
And hey, I understand they're making a comeback.
I think it's time for me to make a comeback. Everybody else can make one. I think I'm old enough to make a comeback.
I'm still here from the first time. Don't call it a comeback, as LL said. It's one of, you know, I've got the ADD. I got the stress ADD right now. This how do you keep your mind focused on it?
Yeah.
But pulling those lines that kind of make sense, or maybe is this a good motto to life or a good way to live your life? I think there's some merit in that. Mm-hmm. You know, keeping my gratitude higher than my expectations. That's not a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, I don't know that I'd say it's full biblical, but it's a good smart way to be, because the Bible says be thankful in every circumstance.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, this past week I'm getting my Sunday message together for Thanksgiving, and the number of passages where David in the book of Psalms, thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. You know, we're always to be given thanksgiving. So
yeah. I've heard you before, I think on Thanksgiving or probably on a Sunday right before or something, you've said if you're Christians, every day should be Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's
the number one.
And my favorite message I ever spoke about Thanksgiving, I called it Thanksgiving, not just a day. It's not just a day in November. It's an everyday gratitude. It's an attitude of gratitude to be thankful for everything God's done for us 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a life-changing way of living your life, but it is hard to do. Even, I mean, I heard that line a long, long time before I probably started living it the right way, but it's just, it is a great, it's a good example of the overarching thing there is that God's kind of everywhere if you're looking for him. And it's funny because I can find ways to find God in songs that aren't about God and conversations that aren't about God. Favorite ones, I had one of these this morning. Now, I'm not a morning person.
Right.
And this was from like my first 45 seconds. So I was particularly hateful and a little bit foggy on what exactly happened. But I love to hear how it sounds when I say things to my kids that I immediately can hear God saying to me pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because it's a really cool feeling. It's a simultaneous feeling of humility and grace and love. It's all at the same time. It's like I immediately realize how small I look in his eyes.
Right.
And how much he loves me, because even as silly as this was, it means nothing to me in the grand scheme of things, still love him. But I said this to him this morning. They were arguing over something. And it's usually the cycle is Gabe aggravates Reese.
Right.
Reese overreacts and flips out on me.
Yeah, you go.
And comes to me and tells me, Gabe rubbed his sock on the carpet in my room, and now my room stinks. And I'm like, That is the dumbest reason in the world to fight, and why are you wasting my time with that?
Right.
And as soon as I said the words, I thought, I bet God thinks that all the time. Yeah. That is a dumb reason to fight. It's not worth my time. Why are you bringing it to me?
Yeah. So, sometimes you have to examine. You know, just how, you know, is this as important as I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, that's always going to be one that I think we panic or we get all worked up on some things. And in the grand scheme of things, in the grand scheme of the kingdom, I believe the Lord sometimes looks at us and says, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're worked up on?
Yeah.
You know, let's really focus on what's important. And I think that's a good word for everybody.
Yeah.
Don't be so caught up on the everyday things that you miss the important stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you think you have more examples of? Songs that are considered... You said there's a lot of hymn. I don't know if you said hymns, but Christian songs. Yeah.
I was more concerned about, hey, you know, because I know probably more of our listeners, including, hey, myself, I can quote you a bunch of song lyrics that, mm-hmm. okay, here's a song lyric that I like, and it's one that, you know, for you, I like Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Buffett's got some lines that I'm sitting there thinking, that's a great line.
No, okay,
is that biblical?
That's really funny. I almost brought up a Buffett song on one of our shows, actually. It's not probably one of the more famous ones, that I don't think. But he did a song with Martina McBride,
right.
Trip Around the Sun. Remember
okay.
that?
Mm-hmm.
There's the chorus of that. I love that line. Again, not a Christian song, but I like the chorus in a way. And I'm not sure which part exactly I'm trying to highlight, but it says, I'm just hanging on while this old world keeps spinning, and it's good to know it's out of my control. If there's one thing I've learned from all this living, it wouldn't change a thing if I let go.
Right.
Now, that quote by itself is a cool little, you know, beach song, whatever. But to me, that's kind of my experience with God and faith, is that as I've learned more and more that I don't control any of it and I'm just along for the ride, it's really nice to just be able to let go and enjoy the ride. So hearing that song, that particular part brings me incredibly close to God.
Right.
You know, that's a song I can hear a lot of. I won't even bother going down the road of all the ones. Brantley Gilbert is a very great example of a pseudo-Christian band nowadays. But here's the thing about Brantley Gilbert. He only sings about two things, his party days and Jesus. That's it. He don't do the partying anymore, but that's pretty much all he talks about. He talks about sinning and redeming.
Is
that's
this
it.
Country boy?
Country boy, okay. Definitely country boy.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my country music days, I used to love country music. I've gotten... because I don't know, it just got to where it all sounded the same to me, and I just wasn't into it as much. And then I saw old boy's rehearsal speech or acceptance speech the other night, Jelly Roll's acceptance speech, and I was like, okay, I believe that boy's heard a preacher say that a time or two.
Because mm-hmm.
I've heard a preacher say that a time or two. I don't know what's been in your past, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you'll hold on, I was sitting there thinking, no, I've heard that in church.
I've heard that one before,
Yeah. But I was happy he was saying it. And it was good for it, because I could tell the folks were getting it. But I don't know much of the country, but I think country's probably more guilty than anything else.
Country can be some. Now, I'll say with Brantley Gilbert stuff, not because I'm not doing this to try to be because I'm in church, so I'm going to say, I don't listen to the partying stuff, because this partying stuff really does sound like that other junk in country that I just don't like. I don't like the sound.
I don't like
because
the
around
stuff.
Probably that 2000, 2005 time periods when I think country music went lousy too, actually.
Really,
I don't like a lot of the new stuff either. But
he don't look like Waylon and Willie and George Jones. No,
yeah.
Nothing like that. I've just pulled him up on my machine.
So speaking of Waylon, there's another song that I would talk about. I don't know how much. I told you I was about to send you this one the other day.
Right.
But you said, is it from Roy Wiley? And I said, no, another interesting character.
Right.
Waylon.
Waylon Jennings.
Yeah. He has a song called I Do Believe, I think is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I have to listen to it sometime.
Yeah.
No doubt, okay, I'm not even going to pretend that I think he got it all right. I'm not saying it's even necessarily a positive overall song.
Right.
But I do think it symbolizes where the majority of the country is in their faith. It's him basically saying, I believe in this and this and this and this, I just don't know what to call it.
Right.
Well, about 75% of the stuff he says, he's describing God.
Right.
Okay, so I think that my reason for bringing that one up was to kind of say, this might be something we need to listen to about the show, because I think the group of people, most people identify with that song.
Right.
They believe in something out there, pretty good idea of what it is, just haven't really dug that far, you know, deep in on what it is.
Yeah, I had never heard that song, and I thought
did
I...
Did you find the lyrics?
Yeah.
Okay, if you had a chance to read through them, if not, yeah. I'll wait for you to read through them. Or heck, we'll play it. I don't care. Yeah.
He says, I do believe in a higher power, one that loves us one and all, not someone to solve our problems or to catch me when I fall.
So let me interject right there. I think that I believe in that, and I don't in a way. Yeah. I believe that he can solve my problems and catch me when I fall, but I don't want to rely on him solely for that or to feel like I'm going to him only for that reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our greatest problem would be sin, and we can't solve that.
Right.
He has to solve that. And I do think that, you know, once you get, and I think it's one of, you can parse those words so much that, okay, no, we need him to solve our problems. I think what he's getting at is, hey, we're still responsible for ourselves. And I'm not, God is not a get out of jail free card.
Right.
Or a gonna make my life easy card. That's not who God is. At the same time, yeah, I need him for everything of every second of every day. And so, there are some, and I think it's one of, I think of, my man, and I'll think of it once I tell you the word. I thought it was when you said I believe, but there's...
Oh, I know Don Williams, but I'll listen to
I'm going way back. Yeah, okay. Tulsa time, but I Believe in Love is the name of the song.
I Believe in Love, okay.
And right. But he says, I don't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate. Okay, so in other words, I don't believe that just going to church gets you into heaven. Well, I think he's right there. At the same time, Hebrews 10:25. I mean, you can parse that. How far are you going to take that? But I think he's... Every time I listen to it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. He says some other things in there about God and other things that I'm like, that's an interesting way to look at it. Don't know that I go all the way with it. And again, we're talking songs, not scripture.
Right.
And songs are not divinely inspired like the scriptures are. And so, yeah, you're going to be able to find little things that, okay, that doesn't always apply as a universal truth or a truth that is, unless it's, you know, directly from scripture. So yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of lines that people, I mean, think about it. I think each and every person is trying in their mind and in their heart to find God, to relate to God, to discover God. And some folks, it's songs and literature, or they may write about it. I mean, that's the beauty of it. And I think that's why we, as born-again believers, yeah, we see this. And we see his handiwork, or we see, oh, yeah, that's kind of like my relationship with the Lord. And he may be talking about, you know, we use football a lot, basketball, or, you know, I believe in babies, or whatever he says. That's a great song.
I'm about to listen to that one.
I believe in babies.
Well, I think that kind of brings to another point, though, and I actually think I can turn this into an even bigger point, if you give me a second here. So we've talked a lot, not a lot, we've done it a couple of times, we've brought up different quotes. I know I talked about the Denzel Washington speech, put God first. I mean, I think that one's littered with things that are biblical and godly. I'm not going to say he didn't get anything wrong in it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I think that's the part of what we've demonstrated probably on the show, or I've learned a little bit too, is that there's a gigantic gray area. And it's okay to have gray area.
Right.
Because the gray area is basically what makes up humanity, right? There is no perfect. We all live somewhere in the gray. Yeah. None of us are perfect or unredeemable.
Define that gray. What are we talking about? I know black and white.
And I'm talking
secular and sacred, or are you talking godly and biblical, or what's the gray?
Well, daggone, it's the gray. I don't know what it is.
What's the black and white?
Let me think. I know what you're at. I get why you're asking. Yeah. I think how to answer it. This is not ADD. This is a tough question.
Yeah.
I'm describing probably a legalistic view, probably, versus a relationship view, maybe. If we were going back to something that we've said in the show, I think that's probably what I think what I've come to you a lot basically saying, I don't believe in legalism, so what are the rules we have to get right? Okay? Like, we're going to mess up.
I don't want to be a legalist, but I want my rules.
I'm not going to follow all of them. What are the ones I have to follow? Yeah. For those who just want to make sure they get the minimum done, like, where's that's the black side.
Excuse
and then,
me,
you know, Jesus would be the white side,
right?
And then we're all going to fall somewhere between those two extremes, trying to get as close to the white side as we can.
I got you.
That might be the. That's not a good way of describing it. Give me a week to think on that one, but I think it's the how do you seek God and how do you is there the gray area I'm describing is probably the structure versus just he's just there. I can't describe him, but he's just there.
It's kind of like the from hearing that, the gray area is the other 167 in a way.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop and think about it, how does it work itself out in a day in, day out, practical, real way of knowing God?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, there's a lot of gray that, but here's some things that should be underlined. Is that my understanding that right?
Yeah, but also in even the interpretations and then the what's right and wrong. You can't tell me exactly what to do in every single aspect of my life, Ben.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I can come to you right now and we can sit and have a 30-minute conversation about something with my kids or something with my work or something with a relationship or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of areas that may not have a definite answer.
Yeah, so basically everything I just said about defining shades of gray, ignore that. Right. I'll edit that
I think there are some things we should do.
Yes.
But hey, all right, should I eat hamburger or tuna tonight?
Right.
I don't know what that
God probably doesn't care, but if he knows that tuna is going to give you food poison, he might make a suggestion.
Or if your cholesterol is up, you might want to eat a little smarter. I mean, I think that's where I always come back to, okay, even in my eating, I want to do something. I want to eat in a way that's a worship service to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really want to overeat. Sorry, we're getting close to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I want to eat smart and take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, okay, Lord, what am I going to eat tonight? Is it going to be a hamburger or is it going to be a salad? I don't know that we have to go that close. To it. At the same time, though, you can bring in, okay, I don't want to be a glutton. I don't want to do. I think therein lies the day in, day out minutia. It all goes back to, Lord, I want to do this for your glory.
I figured out how to explain what I just meant in a way that it makes them both all make sense.
Uh-huh.
To me, the gray area is where God controls that gray area.
He right.
just, that's where you, that's where. What do I call it this way? I don't want to call it the wiggle room God has to play with, but basically God's not going to be bound by our rules.
Right.
Okay, so we can sit here and try to come up with, okay, preacher, you're the closest I've found.
Steps off.
So tell me how to do this and tell me what I should
give
do.
Give me five steps to knowing him.
And you can give me your best effort and may or may not get it right, even with the best intentions. So I think my point of talking about that gray area and that faith is that we can sit here for an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week and nail down a thought process or if you do this, you do this, you do this. Then you'll find God. We want to talk about how to find God.
Right.
But we don't have the formula nailed down that nobody else has that you're going to find. You have to seek him. And then beyond that, what he does from there is the gray area.
And even that, to some degree, is unless the Holy Spirit draws a man, he doesn't come to the Lord. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit has been working in our life just to make us want to go to him. And then how do we go to him? Well, I think that's where, again, finding the scriptures, whether it's a book of John or something like that, or, hey, talk to someone. I think that's a key. But you're right. There is no definite answer because people find the Lord numerous and sundry different ways.
So black answer, white answer, gray answer, something like that. Black to me would be if you hear the Lord tell you that you should go kill somebody.
No.
You didn't hear that.
False. Yeah.
That's false.
That's you need not to buy, scriptural.
No, you don't. That's not scriptural.
That's not scriptural.
I was going to say you need to read the Bible to know that. You don't necessarily need to know the Bible to know that you can't kill people. But you need to know your Bible to know what those lines are. That being said, the Bible itself gave us room for interpretation because there's going to be something in the Bible that you could say, it's not, don't kill anybody.
Right.
But there could be an instruction that you hear that could be biblical or it could be from the other information source.
I don't know if it's as along the same lines, but I mean, hey, there is in the scripture self-defense. Very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's true. Yeah.
But okay, God wanted me to be harsh or unkind to someone. Don't know that that's in there.
Yeah.
Now, God may want you to end a relationship or end something. That's fine. But I don't have to be a jerk about it, and I don't have to be, act ungodly when I do it. I mean, there's things that those fine lines are there that if he does calls you to do something, I don't think he's ever going to ask you to or command you to sin. That's the thing. Now, we're tempted And we're tried and tested, but no, it is our own temptation, our own lust that take us away that way.
Well, and I'm not sure if, well, let me say the first part of this, maybe first, and we'll see if I want to tackle on the second part, but it's not just on that extreme side of the spectrum either. You can have an instruction that sounds totally godly, and it may not necessarily be from him, okay? Right. You could drive by a church and have the inspiration hit you that I should do, write a check for $5,000 and sit it on the table. For what you don't know, the preacher may have a drug addiction, and that's what that $5,000 is going to. You know what I mean? Like, even the thing that sounds the best possible thing could not be coming from God. It could be.
But even that, if I know the Lord's telling me to do it,
right?
Yeah, I don't worry about
it. No. Yeah. I'm saying in a situation where.
Yeah, and make those checks out to Fuquay Baptist.
No, I'm just kidding. Not personal checks to you.
No, you don't make them out to Ben. You make them out to Fuquay Baptist. No, but I think it's one of, you know. Case in point, I was young Christian one time, and I remember, and I remember it just like yesterday, and it was the oddest thing. I was in my quiet time. I was just learning, and I felt like, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And for some reason, I felt like the Lord was telling me there was a on my way to work every day, there was a bypass. Nobody's there. And I felt like, okay, he wanted me to just go and pull over and sit there. Mm-hmm. I sat there for 15 minutes wondering, okay, Lord, I'm just going to sit here because I felt like that's what you would lead me to. I don't know what he was doing. And nobody came by. I mean, it was just quiet. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm just going to enjoy this quiet time. I don't know why the Lord, and even to this day, I'm kind of like, well, did I misunderstand it? Was there a... I don't know what, I mean, hey, it could be I'll get to heaven. And the Lord said, well, I had you sit there because there was a wreck 25 mm-hmm. minutes up the road that when you went to work, I don't know. Yeah. I know. And so to this day, yeah, I think there are times when the Lord may, but it's never going to be something to sin. It would not be to go to that bypass and, knock somebody in the head or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the gray area that I'm really trying to define there is that there is something that you go on that side of it and you say, okay, if you're hearing that is definitely not God.
Right.
And there's certainly things that you hear that it is God. But now here is the list of things that if you hear that is definitely God is a pretty short list. And what that also means is that the closer you get to the white, this is a Garrett Lill original thought, fresh off the press.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Closer you get, the wider that gray area is, and maybe that's the more latitude he gives you for your own interpretation, if that's it, maybe. But there is a point in time there where it's like, the closer you get to God, you can see several godly outcomes of a choice. And which one do I choose? But that's what you said, choose the one that's the most godly. Well, that might be a tougher decision
than
right and wrong.
Oh, I agree.
It can be a really tough decision.
And I think that's, again, as you get closer to the Lord, I think those decisions sometimes, believe it or not, get a little easier because you are, more in tune with hearing it.
More tricky questions get simpler answers. Would that be a
way to summarize? Maybe. But I think it also goes back to, think about the illustration I've used before. I've been married for 30 plus years. I know my wife's name. I know what she likes. I already know. If the kids come and ask a question a stupid way, I'm over there like, I wouldn't have asked that way. Because, well, I've been married to her. I know how she thinks. I know what she's like. And so I think it, same way with our walk with the Lord, the more that you're maturing, the more that you know the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ is what the book says. So if we have the mind of Christ, then we begin to think like Christ, that it's not as hard. And yeah, we'll be able to decide and decipher what's the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, that's the beauty in the entire thing there, right? Is that he doesn't, and also to understand that he already knows you're going to mess some of them up. He's already known you've chosen wrong a couple of times. And I even said that to somebody, I can't remember if I was talking about me or talking about somebody else, but I said, good thing about it is I don't know if this is right or wrong, but he already knows if I chose right or wrong or not. So it don't much matter. He's already been planning for my mistake anyway. But, yeah, it's not always, last week I texted you that I had something exciting happen. The rug got pulled out from under that before it ever happened. But it's just one of those things, too, that I have no idea what was going to happen from that. I didn't feel, there was a part of me that was kind of thrown off by it happening that quick the way it did anyway. It was like, this is a little off,
Right.
Like this is, and my mom even said something about that. Like, that's almost too good, too fast. And then the next day it falls through. And it's just one of those things where, do I know it was from God? I have no, there is no... Right. I could have a conversation with you. It would be pointless because I don't need to know at this point. I'm aware that it wasn't God because the way that went down isn't the way I see things with God. Right. That's not the way it happens. You know it when you see it, maybe, but it's just one of those things. I'm trying real hard to put structure around all this, but he don't give us that. You got to know him to get that.
That's it. And I think it's one of, you know, having every question answered. Nah, I don't know that that's going to happen. And I think that's where, for people like you and people like myself, well, I kind of want to know every answer.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to know every question. I want to know why, and then how is that going to work out? And then I'd like to have it spelled out in A, B, C, or point-by-point basis. Sometimes that don't happen.
But this is a rhetorical question maybe, but do we want a God who's that easy to figure? You said we titled the show a while back,
if you need a
God that we can't all figure out.
Yeah, if I can figure him out, he ain't much of a God then.
But that's the, talk about these chicken or the egg type of things, that's one of those things for me that we get close but we just don't quite miss. We want a God that has all the answers, but we also want a God that lets us be ourselves.
Right.
Pick one.
And we want him to tell us all the answers if we don't know.
And they all need to be the right answers that we want to make us happy.
And we want it, yes, right.
Seems like we got a lot of rules for God.
Yeah. See, and therein lies, but that's what a legalist does. You know, if we've been legalism versus relationship. A legalist wants to basically, okay, God, this is, one, you're going to be accepting of me because, well, why wouldn't you? I'm do everything the way you like it and everything else. Or I manipulate the rules so that I do fit this way.
Could you explain, or do you have a guess at why God gives us a fairly short list of non-negotiables and we turn it into a really, really long list
as
of things
as
we think
non-negotiables, are we saying Ten Commandments, or what are we saying non-negotiables? Help me to...
Let me
see if I make sure I understand the question.
The situations that you can look at that can say these are definitely wrong, yeah, he gives us plenty of guidance and direction in the Bible and instructions and things like that.
Right.
But to your point, he gives us room for self-defense.
Right.
He gives us room for he gives us an out for almost all of those, even to an extent.
Yeah,
I mean, not every single one. I'm not saying that. But he leaves so much gray area in there. And at the end of the day, he really comes down to, again, I know we talked about this last week, the golden rule is not even in there. But love God
and love people,
one another.
Yes. And Matthew
That's
7, treat others as you would have others treat you. Doesn't say the golden rule. I think it's one of...
But we turn it into must do this.
That's the human in us. And I think it's one of, it's Old Testament, New Testament in a way. Old Testament, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. I think it's one of big picture, small picture.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, big picture. Love God, love people. How that works out in the everyday 24/7, that's going to take shape in many different ways. But then he gives us some, hey, and here's some guidance, you know, of whether it's responding kindly, don't lie, one of the Ten Commandments. Don't murder, that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Don't commit adultery, that's one of the Ten Commandments. And so these look, then he gets into, okay, and here's some guidelines. Don't do these things, and that'll help you to love your neighbor. Yeah. And I think it all goes back to that first one. Mm-hmm. When you love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, it kind of dictates the rest. And when you are in a personal relationship with the Lord, loving the Lord with everything you got, yeah, those rules that we're trying to figure out in the podcast, and we're saying, okay, got to do X, got to do Y, got to do this, got to do that, I think it becomes almost self-explanatory. And it becomes one of them walking by the Spirit, whereby he's guiding us and leading us. And that's why I guess where, you know, we want answers, we want it this, this, and this, and I'm trying to say, well, here's the answer. It's Christ.
Well, because he doesn't give you all the answers in writing for every situation in the book and all those types of things. He gives
every
you those guidelines.
You're going to face today.
Right. He gives you those guidelines.
How do I respond to this email? I don't know that I'm going to find that in the book of John.
I hate that I'm not going to know this because this would be such a beautiful way to close it if I knew the actual verse. But he does say, I'm with you always.
Yeah.
That's there.
Well,
so
Lord,
he's
I'm with
there.
You always, even to the end of the age.
Right.
But that also is in regards to the Great Commission that he's saying, go and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And don't worry about your life. All authority has been given to me. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Well, and I think that does play into the to that overall point with it is that he may not give you the exact instruction on how to find the follower, how to convert this follower, how to go and make disciples. Because every situation is where he gives you that gray area to figure it out. But he doesn't say, I'm going to give you all this wiggle room so you can go figure it out yourself. Right. He says, I'm with you always. He'll give you the last pieces. Don't worry about that. Okay.
And what is a disciple? Mm-hmm. Is someone who obeys. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to knowing his word and obeying. And again, how that works itself out sometimes, there may be some gray. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it comes back to, if you love me, you obey me.
Yeah. And that's all that you're, I mean, at the end of the day, him being there with you always in his spirit. Mm-hmm. Is the only answer he gives you for the gray area is my spirit's there to guide you through it.
Right.
But that's all that you need. Yep. That is the answer.
Well, and think about it. We talked about it in Philippians 4, which talks about be anxious in nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you got to go back up to, verse 6 says be anxious in nothing. Verse 5 gives you the answer. Mm-hmm. The Lord is near.
Yeah, that's it.
And so therein lies for peace, for our joy, for our hope. For all these answers we're asking or questions we're answering, is the Lord near?
Yeah.
And if he's near in your walk, if he's near, then okay, then these things are true. We can walk by them. We can trust in them. And the hope and the peace and everything we're looking for, it all goes back to him. So there it is, that relationship period or et cetera that we got.
I try to get a certain amount of walk time in during the day, and I'm not. It's harder this time of year. It gets dark earlier and stuff.
Well, I guess you got morning to noon to 2:30, dark.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Yeah, but a lot of times now to get a walk in, sometimes it's the kids are there after school or something, and I'll take a quick little. It might be a 20-minute walk, and I don't go to the end of the neighborhood or something back, and I got my phone on me. Point is, my kids can't see me while I'm gone. I'm out there, but. But they know I'm near. They ain't that worried about anything. If the house catches on fire, I'll be there to fix it. In fact, I'll probably see it before they do because
That's the whole gist of it, man. Yep. It's about trust. Yep. It's about faith.
Well, I'll figure out how to turn this into 60 minutes.
Yeah, I apologize.
No, man, it was my. We got a little long winded during the beginning of it, I think. So appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.